Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Monday, December the 29th, 2014. Creeping up to the end of the year here. It's been awesome. We're getting close to our starting into our fifth year, the completion of our fourth year of doing this radio show. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169, and press 1. That puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael. Michael, are you with us? Okay. Well, I'm not sure what's going on with Michael, so I'll talk to Dr. Tim.
Probably
how are you doing today?
Hello?
Oh, there he is. And Dr. Tim's with us as well. Hi, Michael.
It's called being mute challenged. In any event, thank you for that introduction, and we're delighted that everybody who chooses to share the show with us every day chooses to do so, and closing out the new year, and it's also a time for lots of opportunities and forgiveness, and of course, that's what we're here to support. So, welcome to the show. And one of the things that I've had on my mind recently is how circumstance, you know, when we talk about the worksheet, the Why Is This Happening to Me Again forgiveness worksheet, reality management, change your mind, change your life. We talk about that worksheet. We talk about how you can do that worksheet on a person, place, thing, or event, past, present, future, living or dead, including yourself. And particular situations, I've been observing people who find themselves in certain situations and have no idea why they're in all kinds of upset, disturbance, pain, or just general underlying turmoil. A certain event occurs, and this person has no idea why they're in that turmoil. And, of course, the Aramaic has a wonderful explanation for that, and built right into the language, and the syntax of the language is a phrase or a suffix that, when you add it to a word, indicates that something is impacting you from the unconscious level. That something in the hidden part of your mind is changing your perception, your decisions, and your behaviors. I remember working with a woman several years ago who, every time that her husband traveled quite a bit for business, and every time that her husband would go away on a business trip, for 3 days before, there'd be turmoil and squabbles and stress that just was not normally in their lives and in their relationship. And when she got to the root, when she started doing worksheets around this issue, what came up was that she had been, her first marriage had been a very turmoil-filled relationship, and oftentimes her husband, after a big fight, would leave. And she'd be left in sadness and pain and turmoil over the fact that her, who had become her power person, would leave. And so here she is, I don't know, I have to think back, probably 40 years later, 35 years later, and she and her husband have a wonderful relationship, you know, just a sweet time together. Of course, like anybody else, they had their issues, but it's time that it would come time for them to separate, for her to go somewhere. She at this point was traveling somewhat, and he was traveling. And every time that either one of them was getting ready to go on a trip, all of a sudden there'd be this turmoil, there'd be this conflict. And she just could never understand why, and until she pinpointed that it was a circumstance, and that was someone leaving. And that just created or resonated what in Aramaic would be called, we could call, for want of a better way of explaining it, OOTA brain cells. OOTA is a suffix that you add in the Aramaic to a word to indicate that something from the unconscious level of the mind, from the hidden part of the mind, is influencing perception, decisions, and behaviors. And so with this time of year happening, with the holidays, people don't know what the underlying angst is that they're experiencing. They don't understand why, gee, I'm just going together to dinner with the family that I love, and yet they forget that when they were 4 and 5 and 6 and 10 years of age and dad was a rager, that the place that he raged was at the dinner table. And so a certain trigger for these underlying unresolved energies. And of course, what we know is that when we have an unconscious dynamic, something is hidden, it influences everything. And recognizing that, what the first century Aramaic forgiveness process does is it gives us the opportunity to open to the part of the mind that has been previously hidden from us, the part that should be more proactive, the part that we've hidden from ourselves. And of course, the reason or the way that we hide things from ourselves is by denial. And so a denial in this circumstance would look like, you know, I just don't like to go to dinner with my family. You know, I love them, and if we meet at the mall and go shopping, we have a good time. But I just hate going to dinner because it just really disturbs me to do that. And if you listen to the language there, it really disturbs me. That's our definition of denial. When I think or speak as though something outside of me is causing something to happen inside of me, I'm living in denial. So I'm saying my disturbance that is resonated by dinner is caused by going out to dinner with my family, as opposed to recognizing, here's a circumstance, going out to dinner with my family. When I come out of denial and I language responsibly, then that language is going to look more like, you know, I realize that when I think about going out to dinner with my family, I have a lot of unrest, a lot of disturbance, a lot of fear that I didn't realize was even there, and I don't understand why. And of course, the person who then does the worksheet around dinner with family, and the worksheet might be on themselves. So it might be, if I were the person, it might be Michael, number 1A, and so that would be, or number 1C would be myself, Michael, and the goal would be to be at peace and enjoy going out to dinner with my family. And so when I cancel that goal, what happens is, in the core of the forgiveness process is about canceling goals. When I cancel the driver that causes my mind to use that unconscious data based in pain, then I get to open that part of my mind and I can drop right back into, oh, God, all those times we sat at the table and listened to dad berate my brother and dad slap my sister and dad just drag me into the ground. Yeah, no wonder thinking about going to dinner with my family is, you know, a disturbing thought. And so to recognize that and apply the forgiveness process to circumstances. Is there any circumstance in your life that whenever you face it, you find yourself going into turmoil, disturbance, upset, or pain? If so, then start looking at what's the goal you have for that circumstance. And as you cancel that goal, you'll collapse the projection that it's about the circumstance. You'll move out of the space of denial, and you'll be able to go, there's the part of my mind that I need to heal. There's the part of my mind that has pain about this. And and then I can heal that part of my mind. Then I can look at that inner or not, but I won't be disturbed by my own unconscious, unresolved content. And so that's kind of, in a nutshell, an example of how you would use the forgiveness process in a circumstance. And you look at many people and the circumstances that surround them or that they walk into, and, you know, they go into a particular business, or, you know, it can be any number of different things. And as they do that and engage in the forgiveness process, it's the opportunity to drop down into, to drill down into the deeper, lower part of the mind that has hidden content, and to work through that content. And it's just the most awesome way to recognize that there's no circumstance in the world that can cause me any kind of pain or turmoil. But there are circumstances that can show me the parts of my mind that hold pain and turmoil. As I tap into that and I'm willing to go into a healing space, that's where I need to go. And that's the forgiveness process. Dr. Tim, how do you be? And I've got someone who's calling me that we're just setting up another event with. So I'm going to answer, and if you would take it for just a minute, I'll be right back.
All right. Well, thank you. Can you hear me, Jeannie?
Yes, sir.
All right. I just, I was thinking as Michael was talking about that, I get frequent questions like that when I introduce the work to people, and we get it often in the support group, because it seems a little less than intuitive sometimes. It's fairly easy when I look out at somebody and I saw that they did something, and my immediate response to what they did is resistance, and then after the resistance, then I sort out what it is that I think is making me resist that so much, and then my mind starts showing me the evidence about how wrong they are and how right I am. And for me, the trick is to take the entire focus off of this outside event and place it on what my internal feeling is. And I begin there as often as possible. Now, as Michael said, sometimes the outside event is screaming at me so loudly that all I can talk about or think about or write about is what this person did, or what this, you know, the situation is with the traffic or the weather or my bank account. But as soon as possible, after I calm myself down or I've written down enough details about how horrible the situation is, then I want to take a breath and focus on what's going on inside of me and do the best job I can of describing, either with a feeling word or words that describe the sensation, about what's going on inside of me, and then that's what I do the biggest part of the worksheet on. When else in my life have I felt like this? What other situation prompts me to have this kind of response or judgment of other people or other situations? And so the biggest key for me in all of this work is to realize how many ways I have been conditioned and trained to believe that something or someone outside of me is responsible for what I'm thinking and responsible for what I'm feeling. And every little step I can take to get myself to set up the mind energy that triggers me, that alerts me, that wakes me up whenever I feel any kind of negative emotion, and rewire that alarm mechanism. So instead of having it send me on a chasing after people and things outside of me to try and feel better, have it slow me down and have me focus inside of me to have me find the cause of my upset, begin to cancel, dismantle, allow, forgive, surrender, transmute that energy inside of me, so that I start to feel better. And one of the things I've started talking about most recently with the worksheet process is that every single time I do a worksheet, and I get any kind of reduction in my upset level whatsoever, I've demonstrated to myself, if I will just slow down and step back and look at it, I have demonstrated to myself in concrete ways that in this moment I was just able to shift my upset level without anyone or anything outside of me changing whatsoever. And every time I do that, if I slow down and I back up and I look at what just happened, I can add this to my database of evidence, actual personal experience, that reinforces the actuality that I control my thoughts and I control my emotions. I have the ability to choose how I interpret and respond to outside events. And every time I have any kind of success in a worksheet process, it demonstrates it to me again. Now, as I talk to people about this, I say, for the entire first 45 years of my life, I lived in a culture and in a very loving family, but still a family that was raised in a culture that absolutely believed that things outside of them and events and people outside of them caused their upset. That they were responsible whenever things went well, and someone or something else was responsible whenever things didn't go well. So I have 45 years of conditioning to undo.
Isn't that a great dynamic, Tim?
Yeah, and it's more than a few worksheets that are going to be needed to demonstrate to me definitively can change my upset, especially when I've been slightly triggered. But every time I do a successful worksheet, it's another piece of evidence. It's another proof in life, in true experience. Hey, I just dropped my upset level 7 points, and no one and nothing outside of me has changed one iota. And if I'm willing to pay attention to that, if I'm willing to let that be my guide rather than the conditioning of the decades in this culture, now the entire world opens up to me, a world of possibilities about creating a loving, joyful, relaxed, accepting, present moment experience, moment to moment to moment. Welcome back, Michael.
So, Tim, are you saying that I'm to blame every time I'm in upset? Is that what you're telling me?
I don't think I said those words. I do know those words get resonated in people sometimes when we talk about this, but I think it's important to understand that what I was talking about was the ability to choose for love, to choose for calm, to choose for peace, to choose for joy in each moment, regardless of what outside events might be happening, and regardless of what my conditioning in the past has been. And that if I just surrender to my conditioning, I will probably go to words like blame and guilt and shame. But if I surrender to love, if I surrender to joy and peace and allowance, I will go to words like responsibility, which is a tool which just allows me to respond differently the next time a situation like this comes along. And I really enjoy how I have learned to reframe the word responsibility to clean out any sense of guilt or shame or blame and simply redefine it as a tool that when I pick it up and use it with myself, it allows me the ability to respond differently the next time a similar situation comes along, a situation which in the past would have triggered me to the old habit of shame, blame, condemnation, anger, bitterness, resentment. And I like the option of having the ability to respond differently.
Well, I certainly hear you loud and clear on that. And, of course, I was pulling your chain, but it is interesting how most people, when they hear the word responsibility, don't hear that word at all. What they hear is, you mean I'm to blame? This is my fault. I'm the guilty party. I'm the one who's bad. I'm the one who's wrong. And and recognizing, as you say, that it's just a tool. Responsibility just allows me to take the part of my mind that I've been desperately and probably for many generations been trying to hide from myself. It allows me to recapture that part of my mind. And that process is called healing, and it's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Well, anything else exciting in your world, Dr. Tim, to share with us as we get ready to close the new year out?
Well, just what brain cells got triggered there was the idea that, and this has only come about in the past year, maybe two. Sometimes I lose track of the process, but in our culture, we have a word that's extraordinarily powerful because of the energy people give it. And the word is victim.
Yes.
And what I've come to understand by working with people is that many people I've worked with have gotten a tremendous sense of relief and empowerment by simply recognizing where and when they use that word in their lives and substituting a phrase. So instead of "I was a victim of childhood abuse" or "I was a victim of the economic crisis in 2008, "I was a victim of domestic violence," "I was a victim of an abusive alcoholic father." In each of those cases, and these are real life people I've worked with, and I've asked them to just take a few breaths and think and substitute and then say these words instead of the word victim: "I have experienced childhood abuse. I have experienced the loss of a job through the economic crisis. I've experienced rape. I've experienced domestic violence." Just breathe into it and say it that way and notice the feeling change. And time after time, people report it feels very different. And most of them like the difference. Because if I say it in terms of "I experienced it," now I get to label what I took from it in terms of learning, how I used it to readjust my definitions of a healthy relationship, and I get to choose to pick up the tool of responsibility. This isn't letting somebody else off the hook. This is not saying domestic violence is okay or rape is okay or people taking advantage of others in the financial markets is okay. This is simply saying, if I talk about it as though I was a victim in this circumstance, then there's nothing for me to take responsibility of. There's nothing I can do to respond differently in the future. I'm just laying in the middle of the road while the truck runs me over. But if I say it in terms of, I, as an entity which is always larger than any event that comes into my life experience, I, as this greater being of love and connectedness to my source, I experienced this little ripple or this major ripple in the energy field around me or in my family or in my physical experience. If I talk of it that way, it puts the focus on my ability to get through it, to be bigger than any circumstance that comes my way, and to respond differently in the future. That simple tool of substituting the phrase "I experienced this" every time the culture would tell me to say "I was a victim of this or that," it's empowering, has been the experience that I've had and many people I've worked with have reported from that simple change.
Well, I think it's interesting to note, Tim, that there's a huge industry that has been built up around victimhood and victim rights and holding people in that victim position. And, of course, when people, as you say, when they start to think down the victim road, there will be lots and lots of folks who will be just delighted to join them and support them and be part of the process and on the way there perhaps make a little money.
Yeah, that's absolutely the case. And although it's not useful, I don't think it's actually harmful to do an overgeneralization and say all lawyers are like that, or all doctors are like that, or all judges are like that. There are institutions in our culture who have moved primarily into that realm. There's whole cottage industries that are built around those words, victim and perpetrator. So it's good to be aware of that, so that as an individual, I can choose differently.
Person who would jump into that industry has probably, you know, played the same game in their own lives and played the victim role, and so they identify negatively with another, oftentimes coming from a place of sympathy, which in our culture is looked at as something really great. You know, you've got sympathy for this person as opposed to empathy for their situation or their plight and the ability to support them, to come to them from the space of active love rather than from the space of one's own victimhood. So it's a whole, of course, a whole different mindset, which is the whole thing we're working to produce, is a different mindset in the world.
Yeah, it is important. And as I mentioned, so many people have found it to be beneficial that I like to promote it whenever it comes to mind. Just try it. It may not work so well for you, but it might.
Yeah. Try it, you'll like it, eh?
Yeah, just like we recommend people try the worksheet process. And, you know, if you feel like you need a more simple worksheet process to start, go to the Child's Work It Out worksheet. I have had several people in the past couple of years, grown adults, some of them who've been through a lot of trauma in their lives, who have done a great number of the Child Work It Out worksheets before they've decided to shift over to the adult or the 7th step or 12th step, whichever was in most use at the time.
Right.
The form, I don't think, is as important as getting introduced to the critical concept that, what does your friend say? It's always a home game.
Yeah.
It's all an inside job.
Yep. For sure. Very cool. Well, our call-in number is 646-200-4169. We would love to hear from you if there's some way we can support you or if you have a question or a thought along the lines of our conversation. How can we support you? What's on your mind? Jeannie, do we have anything happening in the chat room or anybody with a hand up in the phone queue?
We do have a hand up. It's area code 901. You're on the air.
Hey there. Welcome to you all. Good.
Hey there, young lady. Happy New Year. How's Brenda today?
Well, I am processing today. It is good.
Ah.
But it's all good. However, I wanted to give you a feedback on my Christmas issue and my Christmas day. I actually had a very, very pleasant, peaceful, and enjoyable Christmas day with the family. And there was something, one issue in which it triggered some reaction, but I was able to stay conscious enough to be able to do that.
Brenda? So, Brenda?
Yes.
Let me interrupt and ask you to speak up and speak into the phone more. I can barely hear what you're saying.
Okay, can you hear now?
That's much better. Thank you.
Okay, sorry about that. Anyway, my Christmas day was very pleasant, enjoyable, and more so than the external, it was that I was peaceful internally. And when a couple issues began to surface, I was able to stay conscious and just let it go. The 52 mind shifters and everything else absolutely did its work, and I'm looking forward to next year. So thank you so much for that support. Shifting to a different question, Michael.
Awesome, and nice work.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. As the you were speaking about how to do something on yourself, and I didn't quite, I'll have to listen to the internet again to get exactly all of that. But the day after Christmas, I was all day long just feeling tremendous rage, but I had no idea why. It was just sitting there, and it sits in my throat where I had the paralysis, my solar plexus and such as that in there. But I had no clue. I was doing worksheets on various things, but those weren't the issues. And even today, I have no idea what it was. Maybe it was simply stuff cleaning out from the mind shifters and the Christmas issue. I don't know. So I guess my question is a little bit like you were talking about in first. If you have no clue what reaction is or the physical feeling is, doing a worksheet on that, when you have no clue and you can't answer any of the questions, but with question marks, but I have no idea.
Well, my input would be you told us exactly what it was about.
The cleaning out, huh?
Say again?
I said, so the day before, all of the work I had done before was simply moving out. So there may not have been any new issue. It was the old stuff still clearing out.
Well, when you spoke about the paralysis in your throat,
right,
back for a minute to the time when that happened, what was going on in your world?
I have no recollection of that. Other than I do recall as I was coming out of the paralysis that I tried to eat a piece of jelly bread and I couldn't swallow. And I remember that very clearly. And that goes into a control issue. I had no control over my throat. So I know that when I'm getting that feeling that it is probably linked to some kind of control issue, but I don't necessarily, there's nothing that in the immediate has triggered it. And that was what was that day. I'd had a good Christmas, so there was nothing really triggering me the next day. And yet I was getting this stuff just surfacing without a clue as to why.
Right. So let's go back once again. When you experienced the paralysis in your throat, what was happening in your world? What was happening in your relationships, in your work life, children? What was going on?
I was 5 years old. I had they had switched antimalarial drugs. The parents were afraid of giving too much to the children, so I was getting less than what I needed to have. I was having malaria on a regular basis, which we were told later I would have eventually built up an immunity to. However, my parents took me to a Danish mission doctor, and he gave me a dose of plasmaquin, which is to only be used on full-grown adults. But they also gave it in conjunction with aspirin, and at that time there was not the knowledge that aspirin in combination with certain drugs can cause paralysis, and that is the high fever. They thought the aspirin would help the high fever, and that in conjunction with the plasmaquin created a full body paralysis. Came out of the paralysis for the most part, still have a few minor effects these many years later, but then did end up having my tonsils, adenoids, and appendix taken out within the same year. So that's all I know about it.
Michael, I'm not hearing you.
I'm not hearing Michael either.
Mute challenge again, my ear. So imagine that you now in your adult awareness and consciousness have full awareness of what was going on, because as a child at five, you knew what had happened. You knew about your parents' fear. you probably had fear, very likely had fear of your own, just based on the fear around you. And, you know, if the mistake was discovered, there was awareness of that even at five, though it may not have been cognitive awareness. So if you just did your a short exercise of, I can remember when I was five and I was paralyzed that my parents felt and I felt. If you just let yourself kind of go inside and do that, what comes up for you?
I would probably have felt very frustrated that I couldn't move. Well, I also have the feeling that I was attempting to be very brave about the whole thing. My parents, I have no idea. I'm sure that they were probably pretty afraid, terrified, and probably guilt. And wondering, you know, what they had done not right or something like that.
And if you let yourself be aware of what was going on for your parents, just you know, tap in, take a breath, imagine breathing in your mother's energy and your father's energy, and let yourself be aware of what they were feeling. And just let that come. It may feel like you're making it up. Just let that come and see what happens.
Okay, the thing that would come based on, I know, the childhood environment that probably... I'm thinking there was some animosity going on between the parents, depending, because my father probably was the one that made the decision. And they had almost...
When you say made the decision to...
To take me to the doctor.
Ah, okay.
And my mother had already gone through the experience of having the doctor... heard that I would be dead by the morning when I was 2 months old. So I think probably this second episode with the mother that she almost lost was here again having some problems. But it's just kind of blind around that whole issue. My sister remembers more of it than I do. So I don't know if there was some memory or brain damage that was done at the time. I just have no recollection at all.
Well, my highest thought would be that you maybe do some worksheets around that issue as though you understood and knew all of that and let yourself be in touch with the feelings that were there and just see what comes forward, because those energies are still resonant within your structure. They're still there.
Right.
And the fact that in the midst of the conversation, you know, brain cells fire, and we speak from brain cells that are firing. The fact that you spoke of this, event that happened the day after Christmas and all this underlying rage, you had no idea what it was about. And then what comes into the conversation is when my throat was paralyzed. So there's probably, you know, brain cells wire together when they fire together. And so there's a good chance that that's your keyway into what was going on and what needs to be ferreted out of those UTA brain cells, that unconscious part of the mind, to become fully conscious and aware of it and work through it, let go of it. So the energy's just, you know, gone from your structure.
Right. Well, I do think I had written down that I wanted to do some worksheets around the issue of the throat, because I find that the throat and the back of the neck are the physical places where the fear and the rage and the control issue kind of manifest. So those are the areas that I've been focusing on or seem to be keep coming up. That's the part in my physical body. There doesn't seem to be, and every once in a while something will trigger, like in my stomach will be tight, but most of it is focused. So I fully agree that it's probably connected with that paralysis. But why the Christmas Day, which was good, happened, it may just be I'm clearing out, having done all those mind shifters and such, I was that the next day was simply a reaction to stuff coming back out again that maybe had gone.
Coming to a new level of vitality. Coming
right.
to a new level of vitality always opens a space.
Right. And that. The other thing I'm noticing, too, after I did that is from my wrist, from about the middle part of my arm down my hand, were itching for the last few days quite a bit. And I noticed a couple eruptions on my skin, which is kind of interesting. So I'm wondering just what is, maybe it's the drug, maybe something else that's trying to move its way back out of the system. So interesting things happen.
Yeah, if you're in a new level of vitality, your body will be starting to throw off those old chemicals that never belonged. And, you might do some worksheets as though you were your mom
okay.
on the fact that you were sick, on the fact that you were the sick, and on the fact that she was afraid you were going to die and that your father took you to the doctor and how it turned out. And do some worksheets as though you were your dad. And then yourself at five as though you today had full awareness of what was going on, and just see what energy moves for you.
Okay, I can do that. And another, I guess it was a week ago or so when we were talking about, you had mentioned about doing some things with my mother, looking at my mother as a power person. That was amazing because as the days have progressed and I've been looking at that issue, it has just opened up and released a whole lot of things. So I thank you for that. But yes, I will go in that direction. And then on the worksheet then, I would put in, is it 1C that you said? That my trigger
now,
would be
C, you could put mom, you could put dad, you could put yourself, you could put your illness, you could put malaria. You could put the circumstance of being in a third world country and how your mom felt about that. You know, they would all be things that would very likely open the space for whatever needs to process out to do so.
Okay. All right. Well, that, you're right. It's easier to do when somebody else is the trigger than when things are triggering inside yourself when you know you're your own trigger. So I will work on those. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And Dr. Kim, I really appreciated your comments about the victim because I have been working with that also and I'm listening to the Why Again book every day now. I can listen to one full reading of it while I'm doing other things. And in there was a discussion about that we don't necessarily draw things to us, but we are participants in it. And then I liked your comment about we have experienced this event rather than being a victim on it. So I thank you for that insight. And that's all I have for today. Thank you and have a great new year. Bye-bye.
Cool. And maybe Dr. Tim has a thought or two for you, Dr. Tim. Tim, are you there? Do you have anything to share with Brenda on what she's working through?
Yes, I was just having difficulty getting my mute button to go off. I have great respect for the level at which you're doing your work, Brenda, and I just encourage you to follow up on the recommendations as you have every time Michael has recommended something. And I think the benefits we can get at any age in our life from doing this kind of forgiveness work around long-term chronic health issues is it continues to amaze me. So I just encourage you to keep working at it because I come from a family where there were long-term chronic health issues, and a lot of my mother had all kinds of surgeries when she was younger, and I've worked with families for the last 40 years in therapy where this happens. And since I've been introduced to this kind of work that Michael does, I've seen so much transformation that I never saw for, at least 45 years of my life, or the first, I'd say, 25 years of doing therapy. And so I just have the words of encouragement for you to keep at it and do the forgiveness work about the energies you still hold inside of yourself, even if they're pre-verbal, even if you don't have a word like rage for it. There's the paralysis in the throat. There's the ache in the stomach. There's the stabbing pain in the shoulder. And just keep doing the worksheet around it. Even if, as you're going through it, and you're going through the worksheet process, all you write is a question mark in the blank because you can't come up with an actual answer for what that part of the worksheet is asking for. Just keep doing them. Because so many people we've worked with in our support group have found if they just keep doing the worksheets instead of, you know, spending 5 or 6 or 18 hours on one worksheet trying to ferret it out, but admit I went blank, admit that I don't have an answer here, put a question mark, draw a frowny face, a squiggly line, and then go on to the next piece and just watch what happens. And if you're like most of us, you'll be amazed at what starts to unfold.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you on that, and I found that when I have done a question mark, and then a couple of days later I try to reread my worksheets. It's amazing when you reread the worksheet. You haven't got the foggiest idea why you wrote some certain things in there. It's like, what? This doesn't even make any sense. But at the time, it was very, you know, it did make sense. And so then I'll be able to fill in a question mark that I wasn't able to fill in initially. So I'm definitely continuing to do those. So thank you so much for that. And I'm going to sign off now. Bye-bye.
Hi, blessings. Had the best new year yet of your eternal life, young lady.
I plan on it.
I appreciate the gifts you're giving the world by doing your work. You know, there's a great line in the Course in Miracles that says, when you are healed, you are never healed alone. And the depth at which you're doing your work is just awesome. An honor to be part of it.
That's the only gift I have right now.
There you go. All right. It's a good one to give.
It reminds me of, I guess, Jesus when he said to somebody, he says, money have I none, but what I have, I give you. And I think it was a blessing that was then given. And so I thought, well, doing my work is actually the most valuable gift that I can offer. So I definitely will be continuing headlong into this. So you all take
right.
care.
Have a blessed day. All righty. Lots of love. Bye-bye.
Well, you have another caller.
Oh, great. Hello.
It's area code 417. You're on the air. Who do we have?
Hello, is it me?
It is.
We've got you.
It's Farmer Jim here.
Welcome.
I've got a new wireless headset, and the sound, I can hear everybody very well. Can you hear me clearly?
Loud and clear, yes. Actually, better than
great.
We have any time you've called in.
Okay. Well, this is a new device for me. But anyway, my question, Michael, is, and for Dr. Tim also, situation happened about a week ago, and I won't get into the story, just bottom lining it. Somebody got in my face and was very loud and rude. Not just my opinion, but the opinion of a couple of other people. And I said to him, you know, this is a side of you I haven't seen before, and frankly, I don't like it, and I'm going to excuse myself from this conversation. I walked away. And in sharing this with somebody else who actively does the forgiveness work, the comment was made to me that, well, you were in upset. And so my question is, you know, the basic principle that I can love the person and not like the behavior, is it automatically true that if I dislike the behavior, I've got work to do? Or can I just make an objective comment? I didn't feel triggered at the time, and that's so that for me was a distinction. You know, it didn't feel like it resonated anything in me, but the comment was made that, well, if you dislike it, there must be something there for you to work on. So that's my question.
Well, my take would be that it might be worth a worksheet to see if there is anything to work on since you got that feedback. But I think we can totally, completely say, you know, this is a circumstance I choose not to play in. You know, I don't like to go to bars. You know, just, you know, there are four TVs on, there are two bands going, and the noise and the ruckus and the smoke and the, you know, it's like, I don't have to have an issue about that to say, thanks, I'm going to pass on that. So I think you're right. As long as you're really clear that there wasn't something triggered for you, and if you did a worksheet or two around it, if you, you say, for instance, if you looked at the goal you had for that person and you look at canceling that and see if there is something under the surface, then there's maybe a gift in it. But otherwise, I think we have every right to say, thanks, I'll pass on that. You know, bless you, love you, do what you choose, but I'm not playing. That's a very reasonable position to take.
Thank you. And by way of feedback, Dr. Tim, I believe it was Christmas Day you were sharing, and I can't, it escapes my mind exactly what you were sharing about, but it was about your history, your family, whatever. And I've got a chronic back issue, so and I'm redoubling my efforts to work on that with the worksheet process and still point breathing. But what came up for me when you were sharing on, and again, I believe it was Christmas Day, was I had an awareness, all of a sudden I had a wave of emotion and just the tears just started pouring down my cheeks. I said, wow, what's this all about? And when I asked the question, what's this all about, of myself, an image of my dad came up and my grandfather, who my father never spoke of. As a matter of fact, I've got to tell you that I don't know my grandfather's first name, which is really strange. I'm probably one of the few people on the planet that could say that. But so what bubbled up for me was that, wow, this rage that I've got stored in my lower back and that I inherited some of from my dad, I'll bet he inherited that from his father, and that's the reason why he never talked about his father. And then I remembered the one thing I knew about my grandfather, who died before I was born, was that he was in the moving business. He moved furniture. So all of a sudden, the dots started to connect to my brain. I said, wow, likely that he had a bad back if he's moving furniture, and likely that he had rage because my father had it. And anyway, I just wanted to thank you. The emotion that came up was a chunk of emotion that I haven't experienced in a long, long time. And then I laid down to breathe. I had a choice of doing worksheets or breathing, and I chose to breathe. And I spent 45, 50 minutes trying to breathe and was constantly distracted. Itches here and my nose itching and an itch on the back of my head, you know, that kind of thing. And I realized, wow, this has got to be huge because my ego mind is resisting this and coming up with reasons why I can't go into still point breathing, and I never did. Anyway, that's the end of the story. So any feedback you have would be greatly appreciated.
Well, Jim, I'd offer that you were into still point breathing and that all those itches and all that distraction was the energy moving in your structure that you need to move through. So I'd suggest that you go back to that whole circumstance, get it resonating and moving in you again, and then just let yourself breathe through all of that, because that's a part of the release process.
Ah, well, that's encouraging to hear. That was not all for naught. Great.
Yeah, it sounds like you were right on. And Tim, you have any thoughts?
Well, I have a couple. I don't know what it was that I said that triggered things for you on Christmas. I'm glad it was useful. In terms of the other part of the conversation, two of my favorite teachers other than Michael are Guy Finley and Abraham Hicks. And while we have to be careful that we don't use this as an excuse to run away from our own issues, both of them are very clear about, Guy Finley talks about it this way. He says, nothing in our work should be construed as a reason to stay in an abusive situation or in an abusive relationship. He said, if you tell people this is what you're comfortable with, this is what you're not comfortable with, please don't use that kind of language around me, please don't involve me in those kinds of conversations, if they don't honor that, then you are not responsible for what they put themselves through when you decide to leave. And then that wording is very important because Guy Finley is completely aware of the fact that it's all an inside job. You're not making them angry. You're not making them feel abandoned. It's what they put themselves through when you decide to leave, if they won't honor your request or engage with you the way you want to be engaged with. And again, as Michael said, I need to be aware, if I have upset around the way someone is talking or acting, I should do my worksheets on my upset. And if I choose not to be around that kind of thing, that's okay too. And then Abraham Hicks says, you know, my job is to be in that space of love or joy. And if I go around people and they're very negative and they're complaining and they want to drag me into it, Abraham says, here's the appropriate response. Hey, 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 I love you. Goodbye.
Interesting. That's good feedback.
And of course, vice versa.
I'm sorry, I missed that. Say again, please.
The whole conversation that Dr. Tim just had works in two directions. It's vice versa. They're not responsible for what we put ourselves through in a circumstance where we want to blame somebody else.
True. Now, as a follow-up to that, several days later, I ran into this person again, and I greeted him cordially like I normally do, and he said, he kind of looked at me like he was surprised, and he said, I have to apologize to you for the way I treated you the other day. And I said, well, you know, we all have days that we'd like to forget, and he just acknowledged the fact that I wasn't upset with him or angry with him. And I said, man, I love you, you know. And he kind of couldn't believe that, you know. He was feeling very guilty. And I just gave him a hug and said, you know, it's okay. We all have days that we'd like to forget. We've all said things that would love to be able to pull those words back. And, you know, it's just part of the human condition. Anyway, so that was the follow-up, and it felt good.
Actually, I'd call it part of the non-human condition. You know, we use that, I'm only human, as an excuse for our weakness. But the truth is, in our humanness, we have such awesome power and beauty and strength. It's amazing. It's when we get lost in our non-humanness that it's the challenge. In any event, we're down to about 60 seconds. So fast hour. Thank you, Jim, for that input. And thank you, Brenda, for your thoughts. We hold the space, and we're just delighted to have this opportunity. And if you're going to be in Fort Walton Beach tonight, tomorrow night, we've got two free workshops we'll be doing. We just added, just minutes ago, we added Sunday morning. We're going to be doing a service at Unity in the Woods in Bradenton, Florida. And Sunday afternoon, it's going to be a potluck after their second service. They have a 10 o'clock and 11:30 service. And then around 12:30, there's going to be a potluck. And 1:30 to 5, we're going to do Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Again, what an awesome thing to have happen. So this next Sunday, we just added it minutes ago. So we look forward to it. If you get the chance and you're in the Bradenton area or you know anybody in Bradenton, Sarasota, Tampa, give them a call. Tell them to come join us. We'll be there this Sunday. You can look on the website. The flyer's there. You can download it. In the meantime, if you can possibly give the world is to have the best year yet of your eternal life, we invite you to do that. And bring strength to the show tomorrow. We appreciate you being here. Blessings. Bye-bye.